Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, my dear brothers in the priesthood, my dearly beloved in our Lord, I'm very happy to be able to speak to you briefly in this sermon. I've been a priest now for 20 years, by the grace of God. Our small group in southern Germany and as far as I'm concerned in Austria consists of four priests, three of whom have recently left the Society of St. Pius X 2 years ago and 1 year ago, respectively. What makes us look a little bit less ridiculous, let's say, is that by the grace of God, and it's really very important for us, two religious communities of sisters, of nuns, are also with us, and strange enough, they are the only religious communities in Germany, Austria, that existed so far. Nothing else has had ever come up, and they have moved with us to take a stand, a firm stand, convinced stand, with regards to the crisis which we are living through since Vatican II. There is first of all an elderly priest, Father Riedel, who is with six Benedictine nuns in the Black Forest in southwestern Germany, north of Zurich. And there are about 40 faithful who attend Mass in his church, in a beautifully built church. We've waited 20 years, about 20 years, for permission to build the church. And they started at long last and finished it late last year. Beautiful paintings and everything that makes it very pleasant to pray there for the nuns, for the faithful. Then there is a second priest, the second oldest, Father Weinziel. He's been ordained in 1986, I think, to the priesthood. He has a group of 60 faithful in the small place of Wickratsbad, which some of you might already have heard, because it happens to be exactly the same village in which also the Society of St. Peter has its seminary in Germany. So it's just across the road from there, where Father Weinziel is officiating. He is living in Austria, and the Wickratsbad, his chapel is just over the border with Germany. He is an excellent theologian, as far as I can tell. He's very sound also in philosophy. And so is Father Bernard Zabi, who lives in southeastern Germany. So between each of these places, you would have anything between 2.5 and 4 hours drive, which makes it quite distant for our understanding. Father Zabi, who was ordained in 1994 together with myself in Salzkofen, he is the mass priest for five Carmelite nuns. They have relocated from Brilonwald in northern Germany, where they had been for 30 years. They've come down exactly 1 year ago, close to the famous and important Marian Shrine of Altötting in Bavaria. It's the biggest Marian Shrine in Germany. They are 5 kilometers from the center of Altötting. Five Carmelite nuns and about 25 souls, I would say, 25 faithful who regularly attend Holy Mass at their chapel, at the convent chapel, which is still just a garage. They are trying to fix an old farmhouse which they have bought last year. Then there is myself, youngest of this group. I'm stationed in Austria. I was with Father Riedel, the first priest I mentioned, in Black Forest for 8 or close to 9 months, 2 years ago, 2012, 2013, because after 14 years in Africa, my health somewhat failed, and I had to come back. Last place, by the way, where I was stationed with the society was in Enugu, Nigeria, very close to where Father is from, Father Bede is from Overi, which is 2 hours, 2.5 hours drive from Enugu in Nigeria. But that gave me the rest, so to say, and I had to knock off from Africa, where up to that time I thought I would live and die. It was a very pleasant apostolate with the Africans, but that's the way it went, and thanks be to God. This was certainly my intellectual, spiritual salvation, because then I ended up with these Benedictine nuns and Father Riedel in the Black Forest, with whom I'd had basically no contact for 18 years after my ordination. And they very generously, in the true Benedictine way, accepted to have me there, just like that. And at the end of this stay, which allowed me to recover with regards to my health and especially to find out what was really going on in the society of St. Pius X and around tradition, at the end of that stay, I relocated and now stationed. I'm staying next to my own brother's family, which makes altogether 15 souls. Small parish already. The 15th one is a religious sister, an old aunt, my sister-in-law, over 60 years of religious life. And I also care for a small group in Budapest, Hungary, with 20 souls. I go from time to time. All this is very recent. Father Weinziel only stepped out of the society, well, he was pushed out 2 years ago. Father Zabi and myself left last year on our own account, we can say. They didn't have to push us too hard, so we got out. Our essential common apostolate for the time being is writing articles. Fathers Zabi and Weinziel had an internet site already years ago. Was then discovered because they had to make it under anonymity because it carried the name antimodernist.org. So that couldn't last very long. When that last it came out, who was behind all those articles who were so bad because they were talking about theology, about the real problems, they had to close it down, and now of course, they are free to say what needs to be said. And so they are writing on this internet page, and there is also a paper edition as of middle of this year, where we try to enlighten people about the true grounds of this crisis, the true whereabouts. Because you have to understand one thing, that in German-speaking countries, unlikely here over in the United States and other parts of the world, there has been nothing around but the Society of St. Pius X and then St. Peter's Society for the last 40 years. We've had a great blessing here to have the nine priests and others joining them to show you the way, to lead you. There has been nothing of that, basically, in Germany. There have been a few sedevacantist people, one bishop, but was not all that brilliant, really. There were big, big issues, big problems, and so Up to now, there is nothing around. If you count all those chapels, you know, the four priests of us, there are just 150 souls, which is something to start with, but it is very small. So SSPX had an absolute privilege with regards to traditional mass, to tradition. They were dictating, they still try to dictate what is tradition, Catholic tradition, what is not. So it is a difficult time we are having now to try to get through again to people's minds, because that's the bottom line of it. The thinking is gone. The minds are switched off through this ideological melting pot, which the Society of St. Pius X is truly, well and truly. It's very difficult to get through to someone again who has switched off his intellect, his understanding, who's just repeating always the same things, the prêt-à-penser, je dis, from French, the ready-made thinking, the pre-cooked, prefabricated thinking that you are being given from self-made, so-called theologians or superiors. You're really stuck in that, I can say what it is like. I've been in there for almost 25 years. And you really need an eye-opener somehow, someone to open your eyes carefully but steadily, like Father Riedel in my case, to give you the information and to make you aware it is about Catholic teaching. It is all about theology. That's not a bunch of crazy people who are having funny ideas and are called themselves sedevacantists. It's about Catholic theology. Once you get to that point, normally you're okay, because then you know what to do. You know that you cannot stay a single day longer with them, because they are leading you a wrong way. They're giving you a false and non-theology. It's the facts. It was a bitter medicine for all of us, for those convents and for each one of us priests, but each one of us had to find out in his way, in his time, and swallow this medicine, which has a bitter taste, but at long last is very beneficial when you swallow it. It helps you to get the right ideas again and to be able again to look into your books, to see what has the Church really been saying, teaching about different questions, and not just take what someone is giving you somehow about Catholic, so-called Catholic teaching, and it is not. So the bottom line of the problem is a very general problem of our times, and there the fight, the issues might have been changing over the decades. Things are always going down and worse up to now in this crisis. The bottom line is no one cares about the truth anymore. That's the bottom line of it. And this is very serious. Not only because St. Paul says that we need to be girt with truth. Sometimes when you take away your belt or so, unfortunate things might happen. And our cincture, our belt is, say St. Paul, truth. In other words, when you don't care about truth anymore, when you don't have that belt of truth around you anymore, you end up, sooner or later, spiritually naked. You're standing there with nothing, blank. And that's what it is. Modern man cares about himself, or she cares about herself. Need to be universal in these things. It's all about humanism. The new chief of this new church, at the end of their foundation gathering in 1965, said, "Well, we have a message for the world. We also have now the cult of man. We also honor man instead of God, of course. Or, if you prefer, you honor God, you give all honor and glory to God, but you can also honor man. You can also care only about yourself and not about God." That's what it means. Truth doesn't matter anymore. If you believe that there is a God, if there is a God for you, what you believe, no one cares. You are free to believe what you want. And this mindset, for which even liberal is an understatement, this mindset has spread. It has taken over the minds and spirits of just about everyone. And this is the bottom line of the problem we now have. If you care about truth, you're a fundamentalist, you're a radical, or I don't know what, but, well, we've heard it yesterday in the gospel. Our primary statement, the declaration of the new covenant, is in the 8 Beatitudes. It's not an easy thing to keep the commandments, to live up to the spirit and to the letter of the Beatitudes. This is what is requested from us. Or in today's gospel, we will not be forgiven our sins, we will not reach heaven, we will not be little or big saints if we don't forgive from our whole heart. Not just a little bit here, a little bit there, give some honor, glory to God, come to Mass on Sunday and the rest of the week we do what we like. No, it has never worked that way. God wants everything. He demands everything. He can. He has all right to do so. In the first place, we need to care then about God, about what he has deigned to reveal to us, to tell us about himself, about the truth, the revealed truth. We cannot not care about the truth anymore. It would be horrible, it would be terrible. And we see then what kind of terrible things happen when we get onto this false thinking. And together with this false thinking, they seek a false peace. The 8 Beatitudes are resumed in the 9th one, that we are blessed if we are being persecuted, no different ways, if we are calumniated for the name of Christ, for his sake. Then our reward will be great in heaven. And this means there will never be a true peace between the Christian soul and the world. This is a fake peace, a false peace. It cannot be otherwise. We must make peace, but it's in the first place peace between our souls and God. Pacem relinquo vobis, pacem viam tu vobis. I leave you peace. I give you my peace, says our Lord to the apostles just before he goes to war, to suffer his sacred passion and death. We have to seek this peace of our minds, this peace with God, by following his commandments, by sticking to them, by living up to God's commandments and the whole teaching of our Lord, which has come to us through the church. Friendship with this world, says St. Paul, is enmity with God. Simple as that. If you want to be friends with the world, you know that you're an enemy of God. Full stop. It's as simple as that. Don't have to look very far. Because this gospel of peace, which needs to be our shoework, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, the gospel of peace, he also says, is a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, going right through to the marrow of our Catholic bones. We have to be careful what we do with this sword of the truth. the gospel of peace. It's a two-edged sword. You must not take it in a wrong place, otherwise you get badly hurt. So let us not seek a false peace, peace with this world. We are not of this world anymore. Our Lord has chosen us, has called us away from the world. Not just the priests and the religious, also those who are baptized. He has picked you out and said, so you are mine. We have to take that seriously. So let us ask Our Lady, whom we also invoke as the Queen of Peace, that she may keep us from making peace where and while we need to fight. Let us ask her to give us the true peace, this peace which she had at the bottom of her soul at the moment of the Annunciation, but also when she was standing at the foot of the cross, and later on when she was holding the dead body of her beloved son in her arms. She never lost that peace, this peace which can only come into our hearts from God. True peace, perfect peace for us will only be in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.